All right, Payne and Pendergast. Can I tease ahead that Seth's going to be on the mixtape today, Figgy?
All right, yeah.
Figgy was just in here. Seth Payne, guest on the Figgy mixtape segment today on In the Loop.
Just bringing back an old segment that we used to do where Seth interprets rap lyrics. It was wildly popular with 10% of our audience, despised by 90%. But
test it out today. That was a long time ago. Maybe it's a different appetite today. You never know. You never know. I will be listening. I know because I love the mixtape. I love the Figgy mixtape. All right, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. Ben Solak writes for ESPN.com, covers football. He's got 100 days to the NFL. Oh, is it? We're 100 days to the 2025 NFL season. Things to know and predictions. Wow, this isn't 100 days to training camp. This is 100 days to the start of the season. You can practically see it from here.
That's right.
Yeah. It's good, man. I can't wait. He's got 10 names to know. So he's got 100 things. First category is 10 names to know. And you page down, and pretty quickly, in a 32-team league, you get to a Houston Texan. Three names in. Nick Caley, offensive coordinator, one of the names to know this coming season. That makes a lot of sense. What held the Texans back from maybe getting further than they did last year was undoubtedly the offense of this football team. Caley is one of the more important guys. Caley is one of the guys, I think Caley and Cole Popovich collectively are two guys that non-players that might shape the AFC playoff race as much as anybody. Here's what Solak says. I'm always hesitant about later branches plucked off coaching trees. The first few Sean McVay assistants probably have the goods, but the fourth, fifth, and sixth options were probably in the back of the line for a reason. But Caley, who spent the last 2 years in the McVay incubator, was a longtime offensive coach for the Patriots before joining the Rams. So he isn't really a continuing chip of the block. No offense was held back more by coaching errors last season than Houston's unit. If Caley is even league average as a year one play caller, expect the Texans to finally deliver on their 2024 last year's preseason hype.
Okay, that's the part there at the end is something that he and I are in agreement with. It's that just by being an average offensive coordinator, I think he'll be better than Bobby Slowick was. It wasn't just the offensive line. It was gross incompetence in every position group at times on the field. And in a way that everything was so disjointed that things just they were not operating up to snuff.
No.
So if Caley is an average offensive coordinator, I think they have the talent on offense to be able to be an above average offense. And hopefully Caley is more than that. So I think he hit the nail on the head there. As far as the coaching lineage goes, yeah, and Solak addresses this, but it does not like the classic, hey, let's pluck a coach off this tree. And because guys have done well there, or I like that offense, that tends to lose its power over time because teams are just randomly, you know, like, I got to get a McVay guy. This doesn't really feel like that because I think the thing that probably superseded anything was Caserio's previous relationship with Nick Caley.
I agree.
And I don't think that this was simply, hey, we got to go get a McVay guy. It was, hey, this is Nick Caley. This is what we like about him. This is what we know about him. This is what we don't know about him. And that he also spent more time in New England than he did with Sean McVay. Yeah. So you can't really put him on a coaching tree.
No, I agree.
Although
with
if I had to, I would go the McVay tree over the Belichick tree.
The Belichick tree right now, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And Caley, by the way, is going to meet with the media on Friday this week. So Texans OTAs start back up tomorrow. And D'Amico Ryan's going to meet with the media tomorrow, and some players will as well. All right, one of the next items that that Ben Solak has in here, he has 9 interesting schedule features. And page down here, and there's just, you know, there's a handful of games he's got, and he's got little blurbs on them. Oh, look, it's the Jags and the Texans in Week 3 in Jacksonville. And Solak said, I didn't realize this until I saw Jags reporter Michael DiRocco's note in our full schedule preview. The Jags and the Texans haven't played since the Azeez Al-Shaair hit that ended Trevor Lawrence's season and incited a bench-clearing brawl. Well, they'll play in Week 3.
All right, listen, Ben
Solak. Expect some pregame shenanigans and first-drive tone setting.
First-drive tone setting. I like that.
I do, too.
I say we send in a goon in the first series. 53rd man on the roster. I don't care if he's even a defensive player. Send him out there to just go hell-bent for leather across the line of scrimmage no matter what.
Do you see, I look at this the other way. Do you think what he's saying there is that Jacksonville sends somebody after Azeez Al-Shaair on the first
no,
drive?
No, because it's hard to go after a linebacker.
But is that, maybe, I agree with you, but I'm like, maybe that's what he thinks could happen. Pre-game shenanigans is good. I could see that happening. You know, just you're out there
stomping on a logo or something.
Stomping on a logo. They walk through our warm-up line, something like that.
Ooh,
we need that, man. Like these rivalries in this AFC South need a little walking through people's stretching lines going on.
Listen, though, I got a news for Ben Solak. You're not just a cute little blogger anymore, okay? You're at ESPN, which means that now we hold you to a higher standard. For one, no, Azeez Al-Shaair did not send Trevor Lawrence to IR. His shoulder injury sent him to IR. He was up. Trevor Lawrence was playing like dog doo-doo in that game already because his shoulder was all banged up. Yeah. He went to IR with a shoulder injury, not the concussion that Azeez Al-Shaair gave him.
Yeah, man.
I keep seeing this printed out almost that Azeez Al-Shaair ended Trevor Lawrence's season. Azeez Al-Shaair should be suspended as long as Trevor Lawrence is out of football. No, it was his shoulder.
Ben Solak.
You lying SOB.
Ben Solak, propaganda spreader. That's what he is. It's anti-Azeez Al-Shaair propaganda is what he's putting out there. That is fun, though, man. Like, week three, boom, we get it. Same at the scene of the crime in Jacksonville. God, I hope that game has that type of juice. If we get some pregame shenanigans, that would be fun. Because you know what? You know who does the pregame show? Me and you. If we get shenanigans during the pregame.
I think, honestly, if I had to guess, I'm guessing a lot of Jaguars players are tired of Trevor Lawrence's BS. And
all the losing.
Like, man, true, like, when the cameras are off, like, that dude, what is he thinking sliding that late? That was dumb.
Yeah.
Like, that's on him.
Yeah.
That's on you and nobody else. It wasn't the offensive lineman's fault that he slid as late as he did.
11 jobs with question marks. Some of them are up for grabs. Others are hot seats. First couple are interesting before we get to the one that has the Texans. Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, who was all the rage when he was winning games early on, like his laid-back style with all the funny little jokes, was really cool until they proved that they're just a different version of the Dolphins. They haven't won a playoff game this century yet as a franchise. Bryce Young, question mark. That's funny because we saw an article earlier today that had him maybe getting a second contract, but I think he's closer to question mark than second contract right now for sure. Texans wide receiver 2. All right, this is interesting. Biggest question marks. I don't know that this is a big question mark for me, but let me read what Ben says and see what you think about this, Seth. Entering last season, the Texans' target hierarchy was clear. Nico Collins, then Tank Dell, then Stephon Diggs, then Dalton Schultz. See, I don't even know if I agree with that. I think Diggs clearly was ahead of Dell in that pecking order. Anyways, continuing. Entering this season, it's anything but clear. Collins and Schultz are still around, but Diggs joined the Patriots, and Dell's major knee injury leaves both wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3 up for grabs. For the two open battles, the Texans drafted 2 rookies, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. They'll compete with Christian Kirk for a suddenly large pile of targets. Houston desperately needs to be able to punish teams for double covering Nico Collins and must hit on one of those rookies or see a big post-injury resurgence from Kirk to pull it off.
Yeah.
So is this as big a question mark as he thinks?
No, because wide receiver 2 is a stupid notion. Like that's just comes from fantasy circles more so than anything else.
Definitely.
So from a fantasy perspective, it matters. But from the team's perspective, they don't give a single damn.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like, the notion that somehow teams are sitting around and trying to figure out, like, where do we slot this? Is he our WR2? No, this guy's our WR2. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Who do you think, for fantasy purposes?
Sure.
If I had to, I would probably bet Christian Kirk, just because if you want a veteran that can offset it for this season, Christian Kirk. I think Jalen Knoll might take a little time to get his feet about him. Jaden Higgins is going to be used, but he's still a raw rookie, and you just can't predict it. So Christian Kirk is the most reliable there, but it could be any one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely stash at least one of the rookies at the back end of my roster, if for no other reason, as like a handcuff to the veteran guys. You know, like if Nico Collins goes out, which he has every year for at least a few games, that's going to open up some targets for some of these guys. You know, especially if I had Nico Collins on my roster, I would stash Jaden Higgins, depending on how big my roster is allowed to be. I would stash Jaden Higgins there just because he might be able to get some of those similar type of patterns and catches as Nico Collins. But yeah, I that didn't feel like as big a question the way you're talking about it, like fantasy wise. I'm like, no, I feel like Christian Kirk, if I have to bet on one of these three guys to get 70 catches this year, I'm going to bet on Christian Kirk way before I bet on two rookies. You know what I mean?
And I think that they'll probably emphasize the quick game more than Bobby Slowick did and get it going early and often. And that'd involve a heavy dosage of the veteran wide receiver that is probably going to, you know, he's got a lead on developing a rapport with CJ.
Yep. Last one here. This is, he has 14 intrusive thoughts. Okay, this I think is when we get Ben Solak really on our side here. The Texans have made consecutive AFC divisional rounds, but we don't talk about them like we talk about the Ravens or Bills. I think that's wrong. The Texans defense can get burned in its aggressive style, see all games against Lamar Jackson. But over the past two seasons, it's shown up in key postseason moments and against top opponents more often than not. The Texans offense disappointed last season, but the potential for an immediate bounce back is there under a new coaching staff. ESPN Bet has the Texans with the six best odds to win the AFC. They're behind the Bengals and the Chargers, which doesn't reflect the reality of those three teams over the past few seasons. I am buying Houston. That is true. They beat the Bengals CJ's rookie year in Cincinnati. They beat the Chargers, drubbed the Chargers in the playoffs last year. Thank you, Ben. That does not reflect reality.
Oh. But the defense 100% does need to get rid of some of those big play mistakes. They were just that was what they were bad at last year. They were top five in so many categories, like TFLs, sacks, interceptions, all of the big plays. It's preventing big defensive plays, but they didn't do a good job of preventing the big offensive plays. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, the offense isn't helping them out. So they're like, no, there were some very avoidable errors made on some of those deep touchdown passes.
Avoidable is key. Of all those statistics that we're talking about here, you know, turnover margin, EPA, all the various things, yards allowed, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even points. I feel like the easiest thing to fix is giving up big plays, because that's a discipline thing, you know?
Like, well, it's a discipline thing, but it also, like when he said the aggressive style of the defense, it's not in play calling. It's not like they blitz a bunch as a team, but I think in the mindset mentality of just coming up and attacking things in front of you, there's just you got to learn that little bit of discretion as a defensive backfield. And then the tackling overall, the very fundamental thing is that they were bad tacklers. Like to a level inexcusable in the modern NFL. You can talk about how they don't practice the pads on or anything. Yeah, neither do the other 31 teams in the NFL, and there's teams that are tackling better than they are, and that's just a matter of focus and emphasis throughout the season.
All right, we get it tonight. The biggest marquee thing going on in Houston sports these days is happening tonight. We'll discuss that. We'll mix in a little Rockets as well as we wrap up the show. Final segment coming up, we'll find out what In the Loop's got going on, question of the day and whatnot. We'll do all that coming up next.